we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Core with Walker Waubman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me this afternoon. Of course, the standoff at the border continues. Chaos in Washington, D.C. continues. The president continues to deteriorate. And now we have international crisis that, to be blunt, there's no way this president can deal with this. I mean, he is completely incapable of fulfilling the duties of the office, which is why the 25th Amendment exists for exactly this moment that we are facing. I mean, it's a catch-22. It's a no-win situation at this point. If we don't retaliate, then we look weak and we invite additional attacks. If we retaliate, we are dealing with a completely weakened military at this moment in time. We've got woke generals that care much more about your pronouns than whether or not you can defend this nation. I'm just going to be real blunt with you today. With regard to the whole, you know, loss of life of our soldiers and those that are injured, in addition to the chaotic situation that we're dealing with in Washington as they try to grapple with the border invasion that Joe Biden's policies invited and created. And now the standoff with Texas, who is done. We're just done. I'm telling you can feel it. You can hear it. I mean, everywhere I go, not just in Texas, the whole nation. I mean, it's a 70-30 issue right now. So it's a losing proposition for the Democrats. And yet they continue to march down this destructive road for the country. And it's essentially overwhelming at this point for them. So then, you know, of course, there's now the rumors are beginning to be substantiated to what I've said for 2.5 years was going to happen. And that is that there's no way Joe Biden will be the nominee. And a lot of it will have to do with the border situation. But it's also just the incompetence and, of course, the mental inability to perform, especially with so much on the line. So, I mean, just back up for a second and let's just kind of assess where we are. You've got the October 7th massacre in Israel from Hamas, and then Hamas being encouraged by college campuses across the United States, showing the depravity and the poison of cultural Marxism that has seeped into our institutions, to the point that we literally have kids marching in the street, believing that they're part of a righteous cause, supporting terrorism and mass murder. That's how bad that part of it is. And then you've got to deal with the international implications of trying to continue to be Israel's friend, our best friend in the region for sure, and biblically required to support and do that while under attack from the surrounding nations and, of course, the real culprit in the middle of all of this, Iran. And now we see, you know, direct attacks. I mean, this wasn't the first one. I mean, we've had quite literally a couple of hundred attacks. And, the inability of this president to prevent such a thing or to manage a response. So just pile all of that on top of the fact that we've let 8 million people, maybe 12 if you depend on who you talk to and which data you believe, come across our border, many of which, several million of which, we have zero information on them. They're the gotaways where we don't know who they are, where they went, what kind of ill intent they have imagined for America. All of that has happened under this president's watch. And so when you put all of that together, we're in a lose-lose situation, folks. I mean, there's no perfume in this thing up. There's no nice, easy answer to this. I get the knee-jerk reaction, especially, listen, I'm a proud American. Somebody hits us, I want to hit back. I mean, frankly, that's my nature anyway. I got too much Peter in me. I would definitely have been the guy chopping off an ear if I had been there, even with the Lord right there by me. I would probably have responded that way. And so I get that desire to just punch back immediately and attack. But folks, we have untold numbers of terrorists that have crossed our border and are lying in wait for that moment. And with this guy in charge of our nation, and yes, I mean Joe Biden or whoever's pulling the strings behind, since he's clearly not mentally there, you invite mass chaos. And so they're trying to get us to take the bait. So I for one do not agree with the Lindsey Grahams of the world that are saying bomb Tehran and you know, full on assault and all of that. I think that's a mistake. I think we have put ourselves as a nation, we've put ourselves in a situation where we have an administration that is incapable of dealing with this kind of stuff. And so however they respond and retaliate, I mean, it's easy to, I shouldn't say easy. It's simplistic to give the order to drop bombs. You know, what then? How far are we willing to go with this thing? And what will we do when the attacks happen here? Because frankly, that's what you can fully expect. If we respond to this the way that everybody, you know, seems to want the president to do, then you're going to have a significant number of retaliatory strikes in the U.S. from operatives that are already here. And you can thank Joe Biden for every bit of that. Every bit of it. You can thank Mayorkas for every bit of that. You can thank this inept FBI that is more concerned about chasing down grandmas that were in wheelchairs at January 6th, wheeling around to support their president and sing hymns. And the FBI is more concerned with them than they are with child predators and with terrorists. So this is the arch glad you tuned in today to be depressed. Listen, hey, I'm always going to be blunt with you. I'm going to tell you exactly how I see it. That's, you know, if my view is too warped or crazy or whatever, you know, Walker will say, we're done, buddy. You're out of here. No more Tuesdays and Thursdays for you. And you won't have to listen to me rant anymore. And that may happen. I don't know. But I'm just going to tell it like I see it. And as long as I have a microphone and a voice, I'm just going to say this is based on what I read in history, what I read in the Bible, what I read in the Constitution, and what I see in the headlines. This is where I think we are. And so I think we're in for some tough times because here's the thing. Again, no-win situation. If we don't respond, if we don't retaliate against Iran, then we're telling the rest of the world, at least the way they will hear it, because in that part of the world, all they understand is strength. They do not, there's no nuance. It's this terrorist mentality is very much, you know, if you look weak, they're going after you. And if you look strong, they'll bide their time. It's not that they will suddenly love you. They just stand down for a while. They are very patient. These people are patient. That's why I say they're here. You don't think they've taken advantage of this open border for the last 3 years? They're here. And they're just biding their time. They're waiting for the right moment. And so if Biden does not respond and does not, you know, drop some bombs, make, you know, do some attacks, whatever he's going to do to make it look like he's strong, then it will in fact invite more attacks internationally and certainly in the Middle East and places like that. But if he does respond, then I believe the response will be here in the United States. Now, we'll see if I'm right or wrong on that, but that's just my take on those initial headlines. I'm curious about your thoughts. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840 if you want to participate in the program today. All right, other headlines and things to address. The border standoff, I'm just going to kind of reiterate what I said last week because I think there's a lot of there's a lot of exaggeration going on. Not that this isn't serious. I mean, this is literally a standoff. This is a moment. This is an inflection point that will probably be in history books from now on. But to be clear on what has actually happened at this point, the Supreme Court of the United States did not say Texas has no right to defend its border. It's all up to the feds. Texas, you know, get out of the way. That is not what they said at all. No one has said that other than Joe Biden and Mayorkas, who, by the way, apparently the impeachment, you know, is continuing to move forward way too slow. All of it way too slow for my taste. I think that both Biden and Mayorkas should have been impeached already last year. But here we are. OK, so anyway, what happened was, here's what the Supreme Court actually did. All they did was vacate, meaning remove, the injunction that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals put on the federal government to not cut Texas's razor wire while the case was being heard on appeal. So it was really just a holding pattern, and the holding pattern was essentially saying, feds, you may not cut the wire while we're waiting for all the briefs to hear on appeal on February 7th. Okay, what the Supreme Court did was they lifted the injunction without any, they didn't make any statements, they didn't take any positions on what Texas could do versus what the feds could do or any of that kind of stuff. They just said, while it's on appeal, we're not going to uphold the injunction that prevents the federal government from doing what it thinks is best to secure the border. So all it did was essentially lift the injunction for a few days, really a couple of weeks. And it did not tell anything. It didn't tell Texas anything. It didn't say to Texas, you cannot put up wire. It did not say to Texas, you need to get away from the border. It did not say to Texas, you cannot repel an invasion. It did not say, we don't believe that the Article 1, Section 10 gives states powers. It did not say anything about Article 4, Section 4 and how the federal government has failed miserably at its job. It didn't address any of that. So the Supreme Court has not yet heard. So everybody that thinks the Supreme Court has said that Texas has to get out of the way and the feds control the border and now Texas is disobeying the Supreme Court, or now it's time for Texas to stand up and assert its 10th Amendment rights, and this is the big stand. We're not there yet. I mean, we're kind of in the middle of that, but the Supreme Court did not say any of that yet. The Supreme Court has not addressed this issue since 2012. Okay, that's the last time the Supreme Court took up the issue of whether or not states can secure their own border. And in that particular case, U.S. v. Arizona, In a split decision, it was the majority said that the feds control the border, not the states, and that the state could not have its own immigration policy and border security that it would put in place. Now, Scalia dissented in that case and said that's ridiculous. Of course, the states have the power to do that. And so I've been trying to get Greg Abbott to stand on that dissent ever since and take it back to the Supreme Court, because I think this new Supreme Court would actually find in our favor. But even if they don't find in our favor, even if ultimately we lose that fight, then we should still secure the border and take our stand, which is kind of what everybody thinks has already happened. It hasn't actually happened yet, but that's kind of what everybody thinks has already happened. And 25 governors have already said, yes, we're with you, Texas. Yes, Governor Abbott, we'll stand with you against the federal government. Which tells me that once this is heard by the Supreme Court, I think the Supreme Court's going to is even more likely to side with Texas, because they know that 25 other states are going to side with Texas. And if they go against Texas and empower the federal government to continue violating statute and helping illegal aliens enter the country, literally aiding and abetting an invasion, I think the Supreme Court is going to know that would actually create potentially a civil war. All right, when we come back, I'll finish breaking down the case and exactly where we are, and we'll get to your phone calls. I see the phone's already lighting up. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. We're just kind of rehashing a little bit of what I talked about last week, because there's just so much misinformation out there about the border standoff and where this thing actually stands. So again, just to summarize, the only thing the Supreme Court has said is that the feds can cut the wire if they want, or that they're not enjoined from doing so. So the Fifth Circuit said, feds, you can't cut the wire. We don't believe you have the ability or the right to destroy Texas's property. It's actually a property dispute. It's not even the case is not even about constitutional authority or immigration policy or any of that. It's literally about, can the feds destroy Texas property, meaning the wire? Can they go in and cut the wire? So that's the technical thing this is really about. Of course, the bigger issue that everybody is well understanding is that this is about securing the border and whether or not the feds can continue this insane policy of letting all of these millions of people come into our country illegally. Illegally. Let's remember that. It's illegal. The law says they're supposed to come through the front door, not across the river and up the embankment. So all this whining about, people are dying in the water and whatever. Listen, I think Attorney General Paxton said it right. You don't drown on a bridge. So stop trying to get across illegally. Come across legally and you won't be drowning in the river. But aside from that, and that's, of course, the heartstrings that the federal government used to get the Supreme Court to even to lift the injunction, because they claimed they were getting the injunction lifted so that they could offer immediate medical care to anybody that was crossing the river. That's an absolute lie. That they lied in their pleadings. They acted like they could have saved the three that drowned week before last and all of that. Absolutely not true. Even the injunction allowed for them to intervene if there was a medical emergency. So there was nothing preventing them from being able to do that. But back to the actual case and where this thing stands. So the Fifth Circuit actually found, the district court actually found that everything Texas claimed was true, that there was no question the feds were cutting their wire, quite literally throwing a rope. I mean, not kidding there. They literally put a rope ladder down to help illegal aliens enter the country, and then did not do what they said that in their case they were doing. They said they were doing that so that they could detain, interrogate, all of that stuff. They did none of that. And so the evidence before the court was that on September 20th, 4,555 illegal aliens were helped by the feds to get through the razor wire and then just sent on their merry way and told that a mile down the road there's a processing center. Please stop in, if you will. And about half of them didn't. Half of them didn't. A little more than half did go to the processing center and get processed, which means they still got sent into the country. But at least we know who they are, kind of, if we believe them. The other half, no, in the wind, no processing, no detaining, no interrogation, nothing, gone. So they're not doing their job. The statute specifically says they're supposed to prevent the entry of illegal aliens, and that's why they get access to the border and get to be within 25 miles of the border. So they're not doing their job anyway. And so now we're waiting, and the Fifth Circuit put the injunction on the federal government and said you can't cut the wire because they said we believe Texas will prevail. This is why you give an injunction. You only give an injunction if you think that the person asking for the injunction will in fact succeed, that they'll win the case, and you also have to be convinced that there'll be irreparable harm in the meantime if no injunction is given. So the Fifth Circuit clearly said, yeah, there'll be damage because thousands of others will get across. Your razor wire will be destroyed, all of that. So they said, you're very likely to succeed on the merits and you're likely to have irreparable harm. Therefore, we're giving you the injunction. 5 out of 9 on the Supreme Court, all the women on the court, decided emotionally to say, we're gonna let the feds just continue to aid and abet an invasion. And for those of you that caught it, I was referring to Roberts as a woman. Okay, so it was 4 actual women and then Roberts acting like a woman. All right, so they lifted the injunction, and the Fifth Circuit is now waiting to hear the full case. So I believe we'll just probably remain at a standoff until then. I don't think there's any way the feds are going to actually physically try to break through the Texas barrier, the Texas National Guard, to get to the wire to cut it. Now, Texas is continuing to put up more and more wire. There is nothing in the Supreme Court decision that says that Texas is not supposed to keep putting up wire. They're absolutely allowed to continue to do that, and they're doing so. So I think the standoff actually is good if you want to secure the border, because it's allowing Texas to get more wire put up and continue this, and therefore secure the border where the feds are not doing that. And with the 25 governors coming alongside Texas, I just think that's gonna it's gonna become overwhelming. 70% of Americans say that Texas should be able to do this. So this is moving the right direction. I do not think we're in for a complete, you know, total civil war or any of that kind of stuff if the feds back off, which I think they will. I think they will back off. Look, I think Biden is actually glad that he has an international issue that he can, you know, put his focus on and kind of ignore what's happening at the border, which essentially that's what they've done for 3 years, is ignore. Not really. They've actually encouraged it, but you know what I'm saying. All right, let's go to the phones. We've got, a lot of people calling in here. Let's go to Phil in Texas. He's first up on my list. Phil, go ahead, man. What's your thoughts on what's going on at the border or whatever you called in about? It's all yours.
Yes, I just wanted to say two things. First of all, I am just absolutely horrified that this thing with the border has gone on this long. It's just totally outrageous. And the worst part of it is purposeful. People have got to realize this is not accident. This is not because Biden's incompetent. It is all purposeful. Yep. They're trying to tear down and destroy our country, and so this has got to be stopped. Thank God for Governor Abbott and some of these other ones who are trying to make a difference and trying to stop it. So we need to pray for that. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is too often I get the impression, even from some things you said, that you think the main problem with Biden is that he's incompetent and not all with it, you know, mentally. Well, obviously that's a problem. But we have to understand he is also able to say no. He does not have to go along with everybody is telling him to do. He's definitely a puppet of Obama and others on the extreme radical left side. But he does not have to go along with this. He is going along with it. And I would say more than incompetent, we need to call it what it is. Biden is an evil man, and he is agreeing to this stuff. He's going along with it. He's aiding and abetting the enemy. And I am so upset with the whole situation. We just really need to be praying. I keep praying for his salvation. It's the only thing that would fix him. He's just an evil, evil man.
Well, Phil, I absolutely agree. I think he proved that over the previous 50 years whenever he still had his mental faculties, the things that he did, the bribes that he took, all the evidence is out there, folks. I mean, he's always been that way. And so, no doubt, Phil's right. Whether it's, I bring up the incompetence because the 25th Amendment would allow for the removal of Joe Biden right now. Of course, nobody wants to do that because Kamala Harris is even more of a joke than we thought whenever she first got elected. And so no one has confidence in her and would probably exacerbate the international problem. So that's the reason the 25th is not being invoked. You're right, man. I mean, everything that's happening, even if he was competent right now mentally, would still be happening. Because he is, that's what he wants. That's what he's for. He's sold out to the left. He's sold out to these people that want to destroy America and completely remake it into the socialist states of America. No doubt about it. That's why not just Joe Biden, but the Democrat Party has to be defeated. They are the ones that are pushing for all of this. And remember, this is this is not none of this is a surprise. We've been warning about this for years. And of course, it's not a surprise that Michelle Obama is now getting talked about more and more and more. I've said that for 2.5 years, that Joe Biden would not be the nominee. And that it would, at first, I always thought it would be Gavin Newsom. Newt Gingrich was the first one to raise the specter of Michelle Obama. That was well over a year ago. And as soon as I read his article, I was like, wow, he's right. He's absolutely right. That's who they're probably going to swoop in with. Because she can stay out of the fray until May or June. You get close to the Democrat National Convention in August, and that's when they'll choose her, and then she will not have been in all of this. She won't be attached to the border disaster. She'll come in and make it sound like she's got some reasonable proposal for solving that, when in fact this has been the Obama administration's plan from 2008 to radically transform America, that they wanted this all along. anyway, I think she's absolutely the one that they're going to go with. Newsom is too, I mean, he is so slick. He really does fool a lot of people, but he's almost too slick for this moment. And too, I mean, what was it he said yesterday? He was like just absolutely, you know, defiant about how the last 3 years have been the greatest presidency ever and all this nonsense. It was so absurd that even a liberal reporter called him on it. And so I think he's just too over the top, too unhinged, too disconnected from reality. And Michelle, on the other hand, is going to come in and look like she is the calming hand, and you get Barack back, and there'll be enough, you know, fools out there that think that was a good thing instead of a bad thing, that it'll be much more competitive and much more difficult for Trump to win at the end of the day if it's Michelle Obama rather than Joe Biden, and frankly rather than Gavin Newsom. All right, let's get back to the phones. We got Sherry also in Texas. Sherry, go ahead. What's your comment or question today?
Hey, Rick, I wanted to let you know I totally support everything that you're saying, and I agree with Governor Abbott for moving people out of the state. It is unbelievable how it has changed in even the area that I live, and I don't feel comfortable being out at night outside my neighborhood. I don't feel comfortable anymore. It's so unsafe. Crime in Houston is way up, and people don't stay in jail, they get out. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's going on, and human trafficking is just terrible.
Yeah, you know, Sherry, it grieves me. I'm going to be honest with you. It grieves me to see, well, our country overall, but specifically our home state of Texas at the point that we are, and so many people that just don't care. And you're facing it head on and dealing with the repercussions of these destructive policies, and you wonder how much of that people have to see before they wake up. They are waking up. Listen, I think, you know, and Sherry alluded to it, Governor Abbott sending the illegals into the country. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because you're literally helping the invasion happen as you send them across the country, but it was almost a necessary evil in order to get these Democrat blue city mayors that invited this, that declared themselves sanctuary cities. And they asked for this. And so the pain now that New York is feeling and all these cities across the country was necessary to get this to a 70-30 issue where finally people are taking the action necessary. And I say that even about Abbott. I mean, Abbott was not willing to take the big steps necessary to secure the border for the last 3 years. He is now doing so. And I frankly think, I mean, maybe I'm too cynical, or maybe it's because his actions were so obviously poll-driven with COVID, that I think maybe it's because the polls have changed and nationally people want the border secured, that he's now willing to take the bigger steps necessary to get that done. So thank you, Lord, for Greg Abbott finally doing that. And then thank you, Governor Abbott, for taking those steps. That is a very, very good thing. And I think people are rallying, not only the 25 governors, so you got 25 states willing to stand with Texas on this thing, but frankly, people in the blue cities are done. They're fed up. Democrats are fed up with this nonsense because they're having to see the pain. I mean, just like Sherry's talking about, you can't even walk in your neighborhood. That wakes people up. That makes people realize something has got to stop. Something's got to give. And there was no reason any of this had to happen. We had everything we needed to prevent this from happening, and yet this president, this administration, the Democrat Party has invited this, welcomed this, aided and abetted this because they want to see America destroyed. They hate America. They just do. I mean, they've been taught that. They've been raised in these, you know, these colleges and these universities that have taught this cultural Marxist poison that America's bad, America's evil, and it needs to be torn down in order to change it. That's the way they believe. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that. It's hard for you to imagine that. I know that you think I'm exaggerating right now because you don't think like that. You grew up in schools and in a nation where we still waved the flag. We still said the Pledge of Allegiance. We still talked about the greatness of America and the good things that America had done throughout history. Most of us had a balanced approach to this, the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we knew that America had sins, just like every nation, because we have human beings in America, but that America overall had been a force for good, overall had been, on balance, the greatest nation in the history of mankind. But these people did not get that. These people that are calling the shots right now in Washington, D.C., These people that control the education of America now, these people that control the teacher unions and all that, they hate America. They want America brought to its knees because in their twisted, weird, left-wing philosophy, we are the world. We aren't just the United States. We are the world. It's not America first. In their mindset, they want America to be last because they think we deserve to be last. They think that somehow balances things in the world. What it does is it causes a lot of pain, not just for America, but for the rest of the world. It actually will allow tyrants to come to power. It will allow totalitarianism to come to power, not just here in the U.S., but around the world. But they don't understand that because they're operating based on emotion, not on logic. They don't study actual history. They study this warped DEI, CRT, you know, selective history. And then they act on it. And that's why we're in the mess that we're in. And so that's why we are important here at American Family Radio. That's why it's so important for you to share these programs so that people can get truth and we can turn this thing around. And I need to hopefully spend my final segment with you when we come back from the break talking about some good news, because we can turn this around. Now, how long that's going to take, I don't know. And I'm suggesting to you, you better be in a position to withstand the storm, to weather the storm, because there's some storms coming. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. We'll talk about some of those solutions. Got a lot more folks on the phones. And if you want to be a part of that, you can. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Waldman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. And let me just say, because I know I'm dropping some truth bombs on you today and just being really blunt about the precarious situation that we find ourselves in because of it's the consequences of our actions. I mean, there's, you know, nothing new under the sun, folks. There's a cause for every effect. And we are currently dealing with the effect known as a crumbling culture. And the cause for that was good times for too long. We got lazy. We stopped doing the hard work. We did not invest our time and energy and money into preserving freedom and teaching freedom. So civics became a thing of the past. And if you don't know your history and you don't know truth, then you fall for the lie. We stopped teaching the Bible. We removed God from the equation. I mean, you just go down the list. We've done the things that produce the situation we're in now. And so we're faced with a challenge right now. We have an opportunity, I believe, to interrupt this cycle that normally leads to really tough times. And maybe we can have some sort of tough times, at least compared to what they could have been, that wake us up enough that we get back to the hard work and the truth that produces good results. And that just depends on you and me. You know, how much are we willing to sacrifice to prevent the complete collapse of our nation? Are we willing to give of our time, our money, and our reputation to prevent that? I would think the answer would be yes, but you have to be convinced that destruction of our nation is possible. I think people are starting to realize that. We've said that for a long time, right? America is not indestructible. You know, you keep putting enough poison in, you're going to get bad results. Well, we're getting that now. And so more and more people have awakened, and I'm more optimistic than most. I know I don't sound like it today because I'm just acknowledging a lot of this bad stuff that's happening. I'm more optimistic than most because I'm blessed to do what I do. I get to travel around the country. I get to speak to a different crowd almost every night and see patriots all over America that do get it, that are awake, that realize they've got to give of their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. And they're doing that. They're doing that. I mean, we're building these two buildings on our campus right now at Patriot Academy's campus in Fredericksburg, Texas, and we put out a request, and anyway, we got this wonderful matching grant, and it was $200,000, and we, you know, put out the word just yesterday morning, hey, we've got this wonderful grant that's going to help us finish these buildings so we can do more of these Constitution classes and train coaches and just all this good stuff. And so I put out the email and I said, hey, we need help, you know, to get the matching grant. We had to raise, $200,000 in order to get the $200,000. And then it'll go into finishing these buildings. We'll be able to build our studios, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I just can't. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry on air. I'm going to do my best not to. I mean, we got emails overnight of people donating, and by morning had $101,000 of the $200,000 matching grant met. And it just, I mean, I was just like, hard to believe, right? And so I think we're going to get the rest of it over the next few days, Lord willing. And I'm just telling you, people are awake. I use that as an example of people are awake and they're willing to give of their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor. You got to do the same. You need to be looking for ways to train. In other words, study the Constitution, study the Bible, train mentally to be a good citizen so that you're prepared to lead your community back. You got to lead yourself, your family, your church, and your community. And God may be calling on you to run for school board or city council or state legislature or whatever it might be. And maybe not this year, but maybe in 2 years or maybe next year or whatever. So be prepared. Get trained mentally. Get into one of our Constitution classes. Open your home to host a Constitution class and get people understanding why what Texas is doing at the border right now is 100% constitutional. It's absolutely constitutional under Article 1, Section 10, and you need to be taking these classes to understand that. So constitutioncoach.com, that's the website if you want to go start doing that. So that's your time, right? That's your life, okay? Your fortune. Absolutely, it takes your fortune. Give up golf, sell one of the cars, downgrade, sell a rental property, whatever you got to do to have more disposable income to donate more to your church. Why do I ask you to donate more to your church? Because your church needs to be the epicenter of the community. It needs to be the place people come to have their needs met, to get training, to come together and sharpen each other's countenance. So as the church grows and meets more of the needs of the community, government can shrink and do only those things that it's supposed to do under the Constitution. But to do that, you got to have fuel in the tank. So donate more to your church. Donate more to American Family Radio. Help us reach more people, because every hour of every day as we're doing this here on the radio, we're equipping, we're inspiring, we're training, we're educating, we're getting people to be better citizens. Donate to Patriot Academy. Help us meet this matching grant. Go to patriotacademy.com today and make a donation, and you can be part of us building that campus and training Constitution coaches and continuing to train the next generation of leaders and all the things that we're doing. Lives, fortune, sacred honor. The last one is your willingness to not self-censor, but instead to stand up and speak truth no matter what it costs you. That's what the founders did. They knew they were going to lose their head for actually standing up and speaking truth, and yet they were willing to sign the document and pledge their lives, fortune, sacred honor. So that's what it's going to take, folks. And again, I'm positive. I'm more optimistic than most because I'm watching the awakening take place. I get to be around the young people, the remnant that God is raising up. But I'm also practical. And I'm telling you, it's going to be painful to turn this thing around. How much pain we experience depends on how much action we take right now. And of course, whether or not God has mercy on us, I mean, I'm not discounting that at all. If the Lord decides that we're due for judgment no matter what, then whatever we do, it's still coming, right? You're not going to stop that. But if he sees that we're turning our hearts, that we're humbling ourselves, we're turning from our wicked ways, we're turning our hearts back to our children and to him and to all those things, if that happens and he sees that and he has mercy on us, then the pain will be much less. If we can be Josiah right now, waking up, reading the scrolls, going, wow, that's who America's supposed to be? That's what God did in America? You know, if we could do what Josiah did in the Old Testament and start tearing down the strongholds and start tearing down the idols and start saying we're going to return to the foundation of this nation, then the pain will be far less than it will be if we're obstinate, if we're just rebellious, if we just refuse. And I know you can't control everybody in America, but you can take action for yourself and for your family and for your church. And for your community, you can lead in those areas. God's placed you there for that purpose. We rebuild the walls, just like in the book of Nehemiah, by rebuilding by our home. So I'm asking you, get involved. Go to constitutioncoach.com today. Get signed up. Host a class. That part's free. No money needed. You just got to put your time in. go to patriotacademy.com and make a donation today and help us get this matching grant so we can get our campus finished so you can come to Fredericksburg, Texas, and not only do a handgun defense course and be able to defend yourself. That's part of the preparation. It's not just mental. It's physical. Like I said, you've got terrorists all over this country that have come across this border. There's going to be attacks. There's going to be more mass murder events. That stuff's just the consequence of allowing for this nonsense in our culture to take place. We don't run around paranoid. We don't get scared because of all of that. We say, you know what? We're going to be the wise person in Proverbs 27:12. A wise person foresees danger and takes precaution. A simpleton or a fool walks blindly on and suffers the consequences. Let's be wise. Let's get physically trained to defend our families. Let's get mentally and emotionally prepared for tough times, or just to lead, mentally prepared to lead, to be willing to step up and get the country going in the right direction. That's what we do at Patriot Academy. And can I just say, we're good at it. God's blessed us with the ability to get good results. 27,000 Constitution coaches out there. We got elected public servants at the local, state, and federal level all over the place. Not enough, but we're getting there. And, man, we've got thousands of people that we've trained to defend themselves should the maniac show up at their church or at their school or at their restaurant, wherever they are. And I want to see tens of thousands get that training. So you can be a part of all that if you go visit patriotacademy.com today. Okay, I didn't mean to preach. Well, maybe I did. Maybe I did. All right, let's go to, let's see, Norman in Mississippi. Norman in Mississippi, go ahead, man.
Hey, man.
Sorry I took so long to get to you.
I need to make a prediction about who's going to win and why.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Biden is not even concerned about Trump. He knows he's going back because Trump is going to be the Republican nominee.
And I agree there.
He is most likely to lose to Biden because what the news media and the Democratic Party is going to do once this thing become a race between the two of them, they're going to dirty him up so bad. They're going to call him a rapist, which is what one judge has actually done, basically. They're going to call him a rapist. They're going to talk about his palling around with Epstein. They're going to talk about his cheating on all three of his wives. Those are the kind of issues that they're going to go after. And if he gets convicted with either one of the counts, Biden knows that he will beat him. So I think your next president will be Joe Biden. We had a chance, I think, with Nikki Haley or DeSantis, but Republicans chose not to elect them. Republicans feel like they want to go back with the same horse, but that horse lost the race for them. He's not going to win this one. He just not... It's not there for him. I don't know how he won't get any independents. He'll get very few Democrats. Nikki Haley would have gotten at least 40% to 50% of independents and a lot of Democrats. A lot of Democrats like her, but she could have gotten all of Republican vote. That's the only way Republicans can win. You can't win with some Republican vote.
So I'll tell you what, Norman, I agree with a lot of what you said, but not the conclusion at the very end. Okay, so in fact, this was why I thought DeSantis would be a far better nominee in November. I said it here on the air that we got a better chance of winning in November with DeSantis than we do with Trump because of all the reasons that you just mentioned. You could argue even with Haley a better chance of winning than with Trump, but I think you would have had a lot of people check out on the Republican side if Haley was the nominee, whereas I think Trump is still going to galvanize the base. The Republicans are going to turn out. DeSantis would have been able to do that as well. But to your point, I mean, yes, there's moderates, there's people in the middle of the road that would not have supported Trump if the race was a year ago, but they already did all of the stuff you're talking about in terms of saying he's all of those things, and they're going to continue to do that. There's no question about that. However, Biden has been so bad. I mean, so bad. People feel the pain, and people tend to vote their wallet. They tend to vote selfishly. How do I feel right now? Am I better off than I was 4 years ago? The old Ronald Reagan thing. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And for almost everybody, other than the billionaires that got rich off of Biden's policies, they're far worse off today than they were 4 years ago. And they know that. And they know that Trump had brought his policies, brought prosperity to the country. And so I think that will be a more of a factor than some of the other things that you mentioned. I don't think there's any way it's Biden. I disagree. I disagree on that part. There's no way it's going to be Joe Biden, even with the media behind him and everything else. It's going to be Michelle Obama or Gavin Newsom or someone else that they're going to, you know, basically swoop in August and put on the ballot. Now, I want to say this before we go. There is a chance that Robert F. Kennedy is actually going to end up on the Libertarian ticket because of the ease of getting on the ballots in the 50 states. If he does that, I think that is really bad for Trump. I think RFK pulls from both parties if he's just third party but not Libertarian. I think if he's Libertarian, it's going to hurt Trump big time. Let's face it, RFK is right on a lot of issues. He is absolutely right on Big Pharma, on the swamp, on needing to get rid of the FBI, on all of this stuff. And that actually plays well with Republicans because they know he's right on that. And Trump is still unwilling to talk about what Big Pharma did. He's still unwilling to apologize for the jab and for warped speed and for what he did in COVID and all that kind of stuff. So this one we got to talk more about because the RFK thing is a problem. And I understand why a lot of people don't even want to consider RFK as a running mate, Donald Trump, because he is a liberal on abortion. He's a liberal on some other things. I don't think he's as bad on guns as I've heard people say that, but he's actually made some pretty strong statements lately. And remember, he's never been elected, so he's never had to actually vote. He's never actually had to propose and all that kind of stuff. But I think he's red-pilled enough on the deep state and the dangers of government outside of its proper authority that he understands the need for the Second Amendment. And he said as much in the last couple of weeks. And I think even on life, he may be coming around. So, listen, we're in a precarious time. We're in a weird moment in history. I don't think we should rule out the possibility of a Trump-RFK ticket. That's game over at that point. That ticket definitely wins, in my opinion. But do we want a VP that's not as rock solid on the conservative issues up and down the line? No. But we also have to think about what's possible and how much worse it would be if Michelle Obama was president. All right, we'll talk more about that one at a later date. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.